You're listening to the OneOfUs.net Podcast Network.
One of Us is a podcast and video network funded all but entirely by donations and subscriptions. We do accept pitches for audio-based or banner ads, but on a case-by-case basis. If you're interested in that, contact us at oneofusnet@gmail.com. With the amount of audio and video content we generate, it is expensive and extremely time-consuming to keep things running. Please go to the webpage oneofus.net and sign up for a subscription at $2, $5, $10, or $25 and get a ton of bonus content. One of Us needs and appreciates all your support. This movie review also comes for subscribers at Time Lord level or above, an uncut, unedited, longer video version of the review. Become a subscriber and check it out. Hungry for adventure? Then travel to A La Carte, the charming land below the floating city of Heavenly Delight, and join the young cook Ramen for her daily dose of wacky hijinks in the new series Delicious. With a cast of eccentric, strong female characters, this wonderfully illustrated comedy comic will be out in July, but you can pre-order now by clicking the banner on the page for this podcast. Get the limited hardcover first edition, plus free stickers and an art print as a gift.
Wow, stickers!
A perfect gift for your child, or those of you who are forever young at heart. One of Us strongly recommends this one. You guys know me. I love horror films. And the great holy grail of horror films for me is that occasional, once in a full moon, I guess you'd say blue moon is the term I was looking for, but full moon is more appropriate here, the perfect werewolf movie. Always waiting for it. Always hoping there's going to be another one that's going to come down. And it's not for lack of trying. People put out werewolf movies all the time, but most of them, yeah, they suck.
Make you want to like and throw up? Oh, God.
It's going to be that kind of review, is it? There's a handful of really good ones, guys. Like, what do we got? American Werewolf in London.
Dog Soldiers.
Twilight, New Moon.
Ginger Snaps.
All right, TC, go. Yeah. You're gone. I warned you about this.
It's going so well.
I'll be fair. The review for when we did Twilight, New Moon, when we first were seeing it, is one of the most fun times I ever had in the theater because it was so terrible. And it was a theater filled with people who, like, were there because they genuinely like Twilight. But even they acknowledged this is a bad movie because there's that point. We never talk in theaters. We're always, like, whisper stuff. But by the end of it, everyone in the audience was just shouting lines like Mystery Science Theater because it was so bad. And it was on us. We started it. It was like that thing. We started kind of talking a little too loud. And then people were laughing. And then it got louder and everyone started doing it. Terrible movie. Anyway, the point being that werewolf movies, there's a handful of really great ones. You guys name some of them, but it's few and far between when we get a new good one. Even rarer is a werewolf horror comedy. Ooh, like the best one of all time is American Werewolf in London, of course. Like maybe the best werewolf film, depending on who you ask, but definitely the best werewolf horror comedy. So that's ballsy to go, we're doing a werewolf horror comedy. So this new movie, Werewolves Within, with a solid, recognizable in face, but maybe not in name cast from director Josh Rubin, written by Mishna Wolf.
He's telling us something.
Just saying. She's actually a Upright Citizens Brigade graduate.
Yeah.
Nice.
Had me going, please be good. I want this to be good so bad. And we're here to talk about whether or not it is worth your time. I know a lot of people were excited about this when they heard this. Did you know this was based on a video game of the same name?
This might be the best video game movie I've ever seen.
It's a VR game, apparently, that came out in 2016.
Must have been based off the Werewolf Party game, where basically you're all villagers.
I think the concept here is definitely more of an ensemble comedy piece and a sort of like, whodunit? Or who's the werewolf type of movie. And that's fun, right? Like, we all just saw Knives Out. We like this big group of wacky characters that are all gathered together in one place, and somebody done it. Mm-hmm. Who done it?
And this is reminiscent of Knives Out. It's a wide Venn diagram, but there's this interesting overlap pretty much in the first 5-6 minutes. I'm like, this has a Knives Out vibe to it. I'm digging it.
The wacky variety of character actors that are in this thing, that it is very ensemble-based, that is very much a whodunit, but it's also a, is there a werewolf? Or is there not a werewolf?
Isn't there? Is. Wait, what?
It's actually a werepanther.
No.
It's not a werepanther. Although I would watch that movie, Ben. Thank you. And that's Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hi. It's in my claws. I have to make these jokes.
Ooh.
I thought you were saving that one for Christmas. Okay. TC?
How y'all doing? Ben started it. Ben started it.
I'm rethinking all my life decisions right now.
I learned it from watching you, Chris.
Actually, I did.
And Tessa.
Oh, this is going to be rough, isn't it?
Werewolves Within. This stars Sam Richardson. Like I said, almost everyone in this film, you're like, you definitely going to recognize. You go, oh, I know that person, but may not know the names. I know him from playing Richard Splett in the series Veep on HBO, but he's been on a whole bunch of stuff. He plays a guy who is the nicest guy in the world, but that comes with a certain subtext of like, but what does that mean? As one does in today's elevated films, I suppose. And he's a forest ranger who's coming into the small town of Beaverfield? And he's like really excited to be there, even though he's having conversations with this ex girlfriend on the phone on the way there. And he's introduced to the rest of the town by Milana Vintrub, who is another actress. You're like, oh, she's Lily from the AT&T commercials. She's been a bunch of other stuff, but she is the local postwoman, Cecily. And she's like, here's all the stuff. Here's all the people in the town. I'll just go through the list of names. Michael Chernus is Pete Anderton. Michaela Watkins is Trisha Anderton. Cheyenne Jackson is Devon Wolfson. Once again, don't read too much into that. George Basil is Marcus. Sarah Burns is Gwen. Catherine Curtin is Janine. A bunch of people living in this small town are all wacky characters with their own shit going on. One of the big subtexts here is there's a guy who's like, I want to lay a pipeline in this town, an oil pipeline, a gas pipeline, and trying to get everybody to sign off. And not everybody would. What, Ben? What, Ben?
There's a guy who wants to lay pipeline. TC giggled at it too.
Because it's true. There is a character in here who's looking to nail all the ladies.
That's true, but it's not that character. God, this is the special middle school edition of Screener Squad.
We're adults.
You forgot to add a question mark at the end of that.
We're adults?
He's a happy-go-lucky guy, our lead character. He's like, yeah, I'm happy. I'm so excited to be here and be the person here. But everyone's kind of fucked up in this town, except for seemingly Cecily, who's like, yeah, I dig you, dude. And honestly, if Milana Vantrub came to me saying, I dig you, I would forget about everything else in the world.
Less to 90s music and beer? Come on. Yeah. What else do you got to do?
But it's not long before a big storm is rolling in. The power is shutting down. They're like, oh, shit.
There's a storm coming, Chris.
Power going out? Okay, that's not so weird for a small town. But then they look around and say, oh shit, something ripped apart, like giant claws ripped apart the generators.
And Chachi.
Possibly.
Chachi.
I think we got a werewolf on our hands here. And so it really turns into a, well, it's got to be one of us, right? Because there's nobody else in this town. This is a very small amount of people. There's a one guy who lives up on the ridge who's kind of crazy. And they're like, well, it must be that guy. But then before you know it, everybody's pointing fingers at everybody else. There's a lot of distrust already between people because some people want to get paid a bunch of money to bring this pipeline into town. Other people are like, no, absolutely not. That's totally offensive and like against environmental, not yada yada. And everything goes kind of crazy. Worlds Within is the story of what happens on that one fateful day/night. I gotta say, as horror comedies go, I think this has a smart script. I don't think it's a terribly ballsy script. I think it could have taken more chances, but this smart, really good cast makes up for a lot of things, and honestly, really good direction, makes up for a lot of stuff. They do a lot of stuff that I really like with ensemble groups where people kind of talk over each other a little bit. People are talking and somebody else kind of mumbles under their breath the response to the end of it, and the whole script is kind of that way. Very fast moving.
That makes for great rewatch value.
I was going to say, there's that great scene where they're starting to like distrust each other and they're around the bar and they just keep stacking characters in different ways upon each other. And then just all of a sudden, like the one crazy methed out guy just pops out of nowhere for the second time. It's like, okay, you understand the use of this character. If you know Josh Rubin from College Humor like I do, you'll recognize that guy as well, George Basil playing Marcus. He shows up always as the crazy guy in a College Humor sketch. There's like the How is Google a Guy sketch where he just shows up as a guy, as a crazy millionaire going, how to make mannequin look like dead body for tax evasion. He's perfect for this character. And like him and his girlfriend or wife or whatever are the best like crazy redneck couple I could imagine meth. This, where it's like, you are both delinquent meth heads who clearly this town for some reason puts up with you, and it's amazing.
And Cheyenne Jackson, who, you know, if you've ever watched a Ryan Murphy show, is like in all of them, is a gay man who's in a relationship with a character I haven't even mentioned yet, Harvey Guillen. I don't know if I'm saying that right, playing Joaquin Wolfson.
Gizmo!
He's Guillermo from What We Do in the Shadows. I'm like, I love that guy so much.
And he's having so much fun with this because it's just like, let me just play the most over-the-top Argentinian guy I can. And it's so good.
Chris, you put it best that this is a very safe script, but it's elevated by this cast and by neat directing moments such as the one Ben mentioned where characters start entering the shot and stack on each other. There's really nice moments like that. A visual comedy. There's a great moment where the guy who wants to lay the pipe turns and he hits some bells and he's like, Chachi just got his wings! That can't possibly be a scripted moment, but it's the sort of freedom that directors allow talented comedians to have in an ensemble like this that elevates a pretty basic story into something better.
I can't wait for the Blu-ray of this just to see the gag reel, to see how much was just, okay, do what you will, because it really did have that feel of they know the baselines to go with, but then just, all right, go with it. Let's see what happens.
But the best kind of improv here is happening because when you look at something like Judd Apatow's mid-2000 movies that are a lot of improv, a lot of it doesn't feel in character. It just feels like the actors riffing. Or something like this, anything that might be improv is 100% locked into what that character would say. And that, to me, is my favorite kind of improv comedy in films like this, where it feels very genuine to the character, as opposed to just, here's a funny thing to say.
It's high praise to say this, and I don't mean that it reaches these levels, but in that same way, it has a very Clue energy, where it's much a bunch of actors who are just having a great time playing in this ensemble, and just being goofy with terrible, dark things going on, and playing those up. There's a guy who loses a limb at one point, so he goes, and he lost a hand, and it's like, I lost my hand? It's like, yep. That it's so just the most random moment. And it's just like, I almost want to imagine it's like an improv where like they've done that scene two or three times and you just thought that'd be funny to shout out.
Every character has their own sort of like peculiarities about their character that they find a way to constantly keep bringing in the jokes that work and elevate, that even end up playing into, with some of them, the reason why they're suspicious, which is really cool. I think if there's a real problem here, it's that it probably needed a little more structure for the script. I think any ensemble mystery, which is what this essentially is, needs a little bit more to keep you surprised, because I think, you know, as a jaded film viewer, to some level, it didn't take long to go, this choice is too obvious, this choice is too obvious, this choice is too obvious, it's got to be this person,
right?
You know, I will say that it does one thing that you really don't see from something like, okay, so there's a murderer clearly, but are they human or are they a werewolf? And that's the one that kind of kept you guessing. Even if you could kind of figure out who it probably is, you're not really clear on whether or not they are in fact a werewolf.
Then they also get to mask it a little bit more by making everything go off the rails for a little bit in this last half of the movie, or even last quarter. There's a great moment with Cecily where, like, there's a whole pause for everyone, where everybody just goes, what the fuck just happened? And she just stops. She's the first to go, I told you this place was fucked up, and just walks away. And like, that moment alone is like, all right, you want me back, movie. For anything I was worried about right now, I just got a good chuckle out of that. So let's go.
I kept going, though, watching this. I'm enjoying it. I think all the performances are top-notch. I just wish it was a little better than it actually ended up being.
This is an offering from a director who's done a lot of college humor. And it doesn't feel like, compared to, say, an SNL digital short, which oftentimes will spoof genres or do very cinematic things. But those digital shorts, a lot of college humor, those are great for your phone. Those are great for your computer. And this is better than that. It does feel like it deserves to be seen on a big screen. But it would benefit best by seeing with a crowd of fun people who are going to laugh with this and have a good time with this, react to it appropriately, and elevating the experience all the more. And I wish I could have seen this in a theater.
I feel like the drinking game for this episode is every time someone says improv or elevated, like at this point, I'm just like,
I'd be drunk.
Say it again. Say crack. Crack, Gretchen Wieners. Crack. Anyways, elevated.
Crack.
I love a good creature feature. It's one of my favorite subgenres of horror. Huge fan. Probably one of my favorites is The Descent. That's a good one. Not werewolves, but good creature feature. But they don't advertise, you know, who the killer or werewolf or whatever is. They keep it pretty close to the chest. You know, if you're genre savvy, you might be able to suss it out early. It's got werewolf. It's got a bit of The Thing. It's got some Clue or Knives Out. It's got the whole like mystery and the prestige at the end. You got your scientist who's like, this can't be. And it's got a lot of things going for it that check off a lot of things off of the list for a genre film or horror film. I feel like it pulled it off just fine. I don't know what Chris is going on about, but I very much enjoyed it. I very much likened this. I will likely watch it again at some point.
Sorry, Chris, I didn't expect Tessa to hound you.
Jesus. It's really charming while not being an all-time classic. You're always hoping that this is going to be the new Tucker and Dale or Cabin in the Woods, where you're like, oh, this will be the new one that you tell everyone. Oh, you've got to see it. It's so fucking amazing. And finally, 5 years later, everyone's like, hey, man, have you ever seen this? Like, yeah, I told you about that 5 years ago.
I put this in the same category as something like Trick or Treat, where that's a fun movie to pass around to people who haven't seen it. I think this is going to be one of those movies that I like to recommend to people who like, love this genre, who love this style of horror comedy. Oh, have you not seen Werewolves in? Check that out. I think you'll dig it.
There's also a much narrower field, even with werewolf movies, than really solid all the way through horror anthologies.
True.
You're like, oh yeah, every chapter is good. It's even a smaller window.
I was going to say, Trick or Treat also has one of the better werewolf segments, better than many werewolf movies in that segment.
Let's go to final thoughts. Tessa!
Yes, I very much enjoyed this. The cinematography is fairly good. There's some decent tracking shots at the beginning as well, if I recall. I don't really see a lot of weak points to this. I mean, I guess, like Chris said, they could have explored some different angles, what those would be. I'm not 100% certain, so I feel like I don't know if that's a valid criticism.
much like you on your webcam right now. She's like down here, like...
Well, I'm trying to like get a decent... It's like just ears. I'm just ears right now.
Just Tessa on the prowl, yeah.
Trying to be spooky? I don't know.
Like you said, some people were talking over each other on the movie, not the podcast. That happens too, though. Where I couldn't quite catch what everybody's saying. It was a little frustrating sometimes. Like, wait, what just happened? What did I just say? But yeah, I feel like they could have introduced maybe some new characters or something at some point. Or like some people trying to like come and rescue him. Or maybe, I guess, his ex-girlfriend would have no reason to show up.
You have that Clue moment where like the door opens and it's a singing telegram girl and then she gets killed.
Telegram. Oh my God. I would probably give this like 8 out of 10 axe throwing moments in a film that I need more of.
Yeah, you like the axe throwing, don't you?
I do. I have it set up in the backyard. We still need to do that at some point.
TC?
This is a fun movie. The cast is freaking hilarious. And what is a great script is... I don't want to say elevated. Let me think of a different word here. Made better by a truly talented...
Say two more times. Get our fans drunk.
Say
get
it. My punch raised card out. To another level.
There you go. There you go. This is somewhere in the pocket between movies like Slither and Shaun of the Dead and The Thing, to go in a different direction, and What We Do in the Shadows, been through Clue out there. It's a lot of mixing of all that, and executing a really good horror comedy, as Chris said up front, is not an easy task. It's never trying to rock the genre or reinvent the horror comedy wheel. It just excels at exactly what it should be. It's indie, and I loved it. This is great fun, and I will watch this again, and it will be in my Halloween rotation, and I will definitely watch it with people who appreciate this sort of culty fun. I'm giving Werewolves Within 8 out of 10 snowshoes, which are one of the oldest methods of traveling snow, and still one of the best.
Ben?
I'm going to fall probably closer to Tessa than you and TC, Chris, though I think TC came out the same score as Tessa. I really enjoyed this. I didn't come in expecting necessarily a cult classic, but I did come in expecting a good time, and I had a fantastic time with this. There's a good amount of gore and practical looking effects in here that I really appreciated. There's a lot of fun with some quirky characters that, again, we've talked about the ensemble cast. They really just own their characters and bring that to life in a way that really works. There's kind of a deus ex machina that they do set up a little bit at the end, but it's appreciative. You kind of are giving it a nice little bow on the end. The other movie Josh Rubin has made, Scare Me, didn't really have a great ending. And this one, I feel like the ending actually does wrap up here, which is good. I mean, I know he didn't write this one like he wrote that one, but it's a sign of, again, like good filmmaking that he knows what he's doing, at least when he's got that. I'm definitely going to recommend it to a bunch of people. I'm going to give it 8 out of 10 weirdos that don't know who Mr. Rogers is.
Director Josh Rubin is on his way to a real classic in the horror comedy genre. I really genuinely believe this because I think Scare Me was an impressive debut. This is an even more impressive film, but I don't think either film really quite reaches the point of like, oh yeah, this is a decidedly a new classic. But he's clearly starting to get there, and he's so good at working with actors and with casting. Oh my God, the casting is just phenomenal in both these films, getting really great people to appear in these things and just making the most out of what they're already good at doing. This is charming. This is one of the films that I really regret the most about not getting to see with a crowd, because yes. This is totally a would have been a wonderful festival film to see with a whole group of people that were slightly drunk and ready to have a good time, because it is that, but it doesn't hold up as well all by yourself on the small screen. Obviously, that's true of even the classics to some extent, but I wish this was better than it was in terms of funnier. Ultimately, there's not really much to complain about. It's such a smartly cast group. Everybody is playing to their strengths. It has a fun surprise ending, which isn't that surprising. It's not surprising for me, but that's because, like I said, I watch way too many of these things. So I was still like, oh, good. I'm glad that's the way this played out. It looked like the way it was going to, and I'm glad that's what, in fact, happened. It's got more than enough charm for anybody to go, yeah, it was a fun little diversion at worst. Worlds Within is fun, and I believe that you should check it out for yourself and see whether or not it's going to be a fun little diversion or a new classic for you. Maybe it will be. I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 really terrible jukebox choices.
So I got one question, and this is only going to matter to our video viewers. Is anyone else just waiting this whole review for Tessa to go, I'm not a cat.
I'm not a cat.